My new series, it is called Digital Dilemma, based on the book Digital Dilemma. And we are looking at gaming specifically over the next 4 weeks on Impact 103 FM. If this is something of interest to you, you want to stay tuned to this, because I have Aldred De Beer in studio with me. He's going to be in studio for the next 4 weeks, 7:35. And we're going to be covering this really essential topic. Aldred, thank you so much for being on The Morning Drive to discuss this topic with us. Today, we're going to be looking more about the neurochemistry behind it. But first, let's understand your history with gaming.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I would just like you to know that your presenter did a lot of work behind the scenes to make this happen. So yeah, it's my privilege to be here. To tell you about my history, I was a gaming addict for 20 years, so it started a very, very long time ago. Been through all the destruction, you know, and yeah, all the mishaps. But the thing is, you know, one, you need to understand that either you're going to become a victim or you're going to become a victor. So you can always use what happened to you against the enemy. And that was my thing. Is I'm the kind of person that likes to solve problems. So I was like, okay, so I went through all of this. So let's see what happened. Now I'm outside the bubble, so now I can look into the bubble and I can actually use what happened to me, analyze everything and try and understand what happened to me, and then use that to help other people not to follow the road that I took.
20 years of gaming addiction.
That's correct. 30,000 hours worth.
30,000 hours.
Not particularly proud right now of it, but yeah, 30,000 hours. I've read books about other gaming addicts also, and the other one I read was, I think the one guy was addicted for 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of time, you know, and I always tell people I did my 20 years research.
True story. Yes. I think of the scripture that God works all things for the good, exactly, of those who love the Lord. And you're using that, yes, experience for His good and for the kingdom.
You know, the Bible also teaches us that the enemy is destroyed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So this is my turn. So that's what I want to do.
Well, that's what we're going to be doing over a series of Fridays. And today we're talking about the neurochemistry of gaming. And stats show that 40% of South Africans play games. What is so intriguing about games, Aldred? Why is it that people are so hooked and so easily hooked to gaming?
I think we need to understand that obviously gaming is a very, very, very big industry. You're looking at about, I think revenue-wise, $280 billion per year. So that's like $5 billion. That's a lot of money. So we're looking at basically, obviously, if you've got a business, you need to get your customers in. So the way they basically work, and I like to look at it in four specific steps. The first step is to get you enticed and get you intrigued. Okay, obviously, you have to like spur the kind of curiosity. Okay, what is going to make this game good for me? Can I see the advantages? Can I see something that's going to really lure me, keep me interested in everything? Well, that's step number one. And they call it the hook. That's your hook. And a lot of people, a lot of gaming companies would come to you and say, okay, well, the first month is free. No subscription fees, or it's a free-to-play. So that's your hook. And you go like, okay, well, this is free-to-play. Maybe I'm going to enjoy this, so let's give it a go. And that leads to step number two. So step number two is going to be the enchantment. Okay, so now the game starts to enchant you. You're playing the game and you go like, wow, I really love the graphics and I love the sound, and this is really something I can get into. So it's almost like it puts you under a spell, enchants you completely, right? You are completely like taken with this whole new thing, this healthy hobby that you have now discovered, all right? Step number three is going to be the engage stage. So now the game engages you and you go like, okay, well, so let's see how I can improve myself. I'm going to spend more time. I'm going to engage my finances, my family time, my relationships, sacrifice those things, engage myself into playing this game because it's just so alluring to me. I just cannot leave it. It's just, you know, encapsulates every aspect of you. And then the final stage is the enslaving stage. So now you become a slave to something that you allowed to actually take control of you. And, you know, it's always so interesting. In English, the term is addiction. But in Afrikaans, the term is verslaving. So you're actually giving consent to something to make you a slave of it. That's the stage where you actually, everything is about your game. You design your plan, your timetable, you plan your family time, everything around the game. So it's basically, that's your addiction stage, basically.
All right. Wow. That's a danger zone, clearly.
Exactly. Yes.
How does one get addicted to games? I mean, you've already explained all these different hooks, but, or should I say, you've actually explained it. You actually have broken it down in those four ways. When people realize that they can't get out of this, now they're really hooked onto this, surely you'd think that there's a way that's around it to get out of it.
Yes. We need to understand the neurophysiology of what's going on. You know, I was reading this morning Proverbs 4. And interesting that it says that you need to guard your heart above all else, because from it flows the issues of life. So what are you allowing into the windows of your soul? The windows of your heart, you know? And that's what you allow. That affects your heart. So if we think about the neurochemistry, basically, if you talk about anything like addiction, we talk about two neurotransmitters. Talk about dopamine and serotonin. So dopamine is what we call an excitatory neurotransmitter. So basically what it does, it actually increases the sensitivity of your neurons in the brain to specific activities. It's also very important in mood regulation, very, very important in learning in the right amounts, also very important in voluntary motor control and regulates behavior. Okay, so the other one, it's called serotonin. So the serotonin is more of an inhibitory neurotransmitter. So that one is related more to the feeling of contentment, sleep patterns and everything, also very important in learning. But now the problem is dopamine is very euphoric. It's ups and quick spurs of enjoyment. I always say it's your happy hormone. But serotonin is your joy. Now, there's a difference between the two, and the Bible always talks about the joy of the Lord, not the happiness of the Lord. Happiness is very like temporal. Joy is like permanent. But now what happens in the brain, as you start playing games, dopamine levels increase. So they increase the activation threshold of your neurons in the brain, and it actually gets you very, very excited about something, but for a very short term. But as dopamine increases, serotonin decreases. So we all know about serotonin. Serotonin uptake inhibitors, antidepressants. So now you are playing games, dopamine levels are at a high, you're playing, serotonin levels are falling and falling and falling, and now you stop playing the game and you feel very unhappy with yourself. You actually feel depressed. And that's the problem, not only with gaming, but also with screen time. Same thing. If you get a like on your phone, it spikes dopamine. Now, how many people you know in your close circle are on some form of antidepressants these days? Serotonin problems. Kids, serotonin problems. Lack of serotonin, you're looking at anxiety problems as well in schools. So that's basically how it happens. Now, if you add to the mix something in the brain called glutamate. So glutamate is a very abundant excitatory neurotransmitter, the most abundant one. So if you think about glutamate, what do you know that contains glutamate? Let me give you an example. If you relaxing and you checking your Facebook, playing a game, you take out that packet of Doritos. You eat those Doritos and you're like, I can't just take one. I have to finish the whole packet. So what's inside the Doritos? They call it MSG, monosodium glutamate. So that's the form of glutamate that you can ingest. So now what you're actually doing, glutamate increases the activity of dopamine. So now you're actually adding fuel to the fire. So now you're really in for a really, really hard ride, because the thing is, as you're doing this more and more and more, you can't stop. It reinforces that positive reward feedback mechanism. And that gets you hooked, gets you even more addicted. Because the thing is, like I said, there's certain foods you just can't stop eating. That's glutamate, dopamine, and serotonin falls, and that basically is the neurochemistry of how any kind of addiction works.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Let's look at a step that we can take, that first step, because there is hope. You know, yes, you might have be in stage four of the gaming phase where you are enslaved to gaming. Let's look at that first step of hope for two kinds of people, those that are in the gaming world and those that are on the outside and can see what the gaming world is doing to their loved one.
Good point. I think for the people on the outside that's exposed to a gaming addict, it is a very frustrating road. You try everything. They just cannot see what's happening to them. They cannot seem to prioritize you in their world. And a gamer, unfortunately, is any kind of addiction really functions from a view of shame. If you're an alcoholic, you don't really talk about it. If you're a porn addict, you don't really talk about it. But if you're a gaming addict, you function out of the root of pride. Because you're looking at your performance, because your performance is who you are. Your performance is your identity, basically. So the better you play, you know, obviously you can get people looking at you thinking, wow, okay, this guy is actually good at what he does. And normally the people that play games are normally the people with, I like to call the root of it, is actually, it functions out of a root of a wounded identity, basically. So you're trying to find your identity in your performance. So for the people around, it's very frustrating because, you know, if you look at the stats, a very interesting stat I read the other day is like one out of every 10 teenagers that play games can actually become an addict. But now that doesn't seem alarming, but with an addict, it's not about the addict alone. It's about the whole family being affected by one addict. So it's very frustrating. So the thing is, from their side, it's a gamer has to come to a point, like what I like to call the zero point. Pride has to be broken down. You cannot help a gaming addict if that person doesn't come to a point where they say, okay, now I need help. And as you know from the Bible, the very first sin committed was the sin of pride by Lucifer, right? And you see what happened to him. So that is what needs to happen. Pride needs to die, because the thing is, God cannot work with pride. The Holy Spirit cannot work with pride. So unless pride is broken, the next step cannot take place. Healing cannot take place. And unfortunately, you know, if you're going to be very like stubborn like I was, it's going to be a long, destructive road. So the sooner you get to a point where you realize, okay, I've got a problem, I need help, the better for you. So yes, from the people around the person, it's very, very, very difficult to deal with. But the person that's involved in gaming, I can promise you now, they are very like self-focused. Everything is about self-justifying. They shift the blame. It's never them. It's always other people. They do this because not giving enough attention. So it's a self problem, an identity problem. So they need to be made aware of, okay, where's the root of your problem? And that's the problem with a lot of addiction problems, is that they get to a point where they get rehabilitated, which is great, but then they regress. They always regress, and I always call this the Israelite mentality. You get out of Egypt, you go through the Red Sea after the 10 miracles God has done, and you're like, wow, this is an awesome God. 2 weeks later, you complain about, okay, but I need to go back to Egypt because there at least I could have eaten the meat and everything, right? Because our nature is we always want to go back to something we know instead of something in the future we're not sure of. So that's why people always regress in addiction, because they prefer security, even if it's harmful, than vision and then faith. So that is the whole concept of how it affects, you know.
What a powerful way to end today's discussion on the series Digital Dilemma. There is also a book on this where Aldred and his wife have compiled this book. But today we are talking about the gaming, and we're going to be doing so for the next couple of Fridays at 7:35. I think to wrap it up, it would be one of two things. If you are on the outside and you are seeing your loved one just being enslaved to gaming, love them through it, love them out of it, until the fact that that person understands the root cause of their gaming addiction. But there is hope. God will definitely restore that person and your loved one, that is, and there is hope. Aldred is a walking testimony that he has come out of it.
Yes, and I would like to really encourage people to come and listen again next Friday. We're going to take this into a lot more depth, but there is hope. You know, there is something positive you can take out of this. And like the Bible says, you know, it's all about the working of the Spirit, and we'll help you to guide you through the process in the coming weeks to follow.
Aldred de Beer, thank you so much. Until next time, we look forward to that discussion.